Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
As we are getting closer and closer to the rapture, we have to be ready ourselves to be able to be taken. We don't want to be left behind. And when we go to heaven, there will be glory. Amen.
Amen.
It will be more glorious than anything that we have here on earth.
Amen.
And so we have to be passionate about God. So the subject today is passion for God. And I chose a verse from Mark chapter 12, verses 30 to 31. But it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Amen.
Amen.
Jesus quoted these words from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. So our message today has to do with love and passion. If you want to know love and passion, what is it? You have to look at two lovers. They want to be together all the time. They cannot wait to see each other. Today, young people, they have smartphones and they are chatting all the time. But when I was young, there was nothing like that. You had to wait to meet. You had an agreement when we are meeting. And sometimes you telephoned, otherwise you wrote letters. So that is love and that is passion. When God said, "Love the Lord," that is exactly what he meant. We cannot wait to be in his presence. This is how God loves us. He cannot wait to meet us. He loves us so much, and he wants to have fellowship with us, and he's waiting. When can I meet them again? You cannot love God, someone, if you don't know them. You cannot say, "I love Mr. Hiram," and you don't know who Mr. Hiram is. You never heard his name. You have to know him, and you have to know what you like about that person. So first, you have to know God, and you have to know what he has done for you. God said in Deuteronomy 6:5, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." He introduced himself who he is. And he is unique. There is none besides our God. The better we get to know him, what he is like, the easier it will be for us to love him with all our being. So this also involves getting to know what he has done for us. What he has done for us. Before the first commandment is given in Exodus 23, God states what he has done for Israel in bringing them out of Egypt, out of slavery of Egypt. Likewise, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the command to offer our lives as living sacrifices is prefaced with the word "therefore," a word meant to remind us of all the mercies God has towards us. To grow in love with God, one needs to know him. You have to know him. So We need to make our daily Bible study a perpetual habit. A perpetual habit, daily Bible study. It has to be as much of a part of our life like eating and sleeping. So you do well to remember that the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is not a newspaper. It is truly God's love letter to us, revealing His love to us, especially through the ministry of His Son, Jesus Christ. So we must read the Bible as a letter from Him, asking His Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts about what He wants to teach us today. Memorizing important verses and passages is also essential, as is thinking of ways how I can apply what He has taught me. It's a pursuit of passion. Indifference will not do it. Indifference will not do it. To abide in the Word is to hang on tenaciously. A weak grip will soon loose and slip away. Discipleship requires perseverance. We sign up for life. We do not graduate until we reach heaven. And so if you want to have a strong passion for God, you have to remember what He has done for you. Second is the importance of prayer. If you fall in love with God, you want to talk to Him. Follow Jesus' example of praying consistently and constantly. When we examine the life of Jesus, as well as that of Daniel and all other people who were passionate for God, you find that prayer was a vital ingredient in their relationship with God. As with Bible study and prayer, sincere and open communication with God is essential. You cannot imagine a husband and wife growing in love without communication. You have to communicate so that prayer cannot be neglected without expecting one's love for God to grow cold. If a husband and wife, they never talk together, their love grows cold. So prayer is part of the armor against our greatest enemy. We may have as a desire to love God, but we will fail in our walk if we don't pray. It's always amazing to me how many Christians are little interested in prayer. If you announce a prayer meeting, you find yourself alone, especially in the Western world. I've seen prayer meetings in Africa where 5,000 people gathered at 6 in the morning, and there were no buses, they had to walk. Why is there so little interest in prayer? Someone said, I can pray at home. Of course, I expect every Christian to pray at home. I expect that. If you don't pray at home, you're not a Christian. But that does not exempt you from attending group prayer meetings and church attendance. Most people think prayer is asking God to give you things. But the give me prayer is not a prayer. Prayer is getting into intimate connection with God. Intimate connection with God. That works best if some people are together. Because Jesus said, where two or three are together, I'm in their midst. So when we pray together, have a close relationship with God, He is there. Mm-hmm. And when you talk to God in this way, you lose track of time and place. A service may go on for 4 hours, and you wonder, why do they close the meeting? Because you were in the presence of God and you have forgotten about the time. You didn't realize the time passed on. Kenneth Hagin, he was in a service and he fell into a trance. And he was meeting Jesus. And he thought it was a meeting of 20 minutes. When he opened his eyes, he wondered, why is the church empty? His meeting was 3 hours. So you see, when you pray right, you don't pray, give me, but you get into a meeting with God. This is what we need to become, to become passionate for Jesus. The third one is, we have to be closely to Him. Now. Not tomorrow, now. Daniel and his three friends, they chose to obey God and refused to compromise even concerning food. The others who were brought from Judah to Babylon as prisoners with them craved in the meat of the people, and they are never mentioned again. The others who were, when the Jewish prisoners of war had their conviction challenged in a far greater way, it was only these who stood with God. They didn't compromise in worshipping other idols, neither idols nor the king, knowing that would mean death. The three friends, they were thrown into the fiery oven. Don't think it was easy for them. It was not pleasant when they went in. Afterwards it was, because God protected them. But they knew what is going to happen if we do not pray to these idols. Likewise, Daniel, he didn't pray to the king, and so he was thrown into the lion's den. It was a big test of faith, but they prevailed. In order to ensure that we will be passionate for God later, we have to walk with Him now. It's not good to be passionate when you're in trouble. So you have to prepare yourself and begin to obey Him in the smallest tests. Peter learned this in a hard way, by following God, following Jesus at a distance. When Jesus was arrested, Peter followed at a distance and not identifying himself with by being more closely to Jesus Christ before he was tempted and denied Jesus. God says there are man's treasure, where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. As we invest our life in God through serving Him and being on the receiving end of persecution, our treasure will increasingly be with Him, and so will our hearts. Number four, eliminate competition. Jesus said, it is impossible to have two masters. We are tempted to love the world, those things which are pleasing to our eyes, which make us feel good about ourselves and gratify our fleshly desires. But Jesus said, you cannot be friend of the world and of God. When Eve was tempted by Satan, we read this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, who was with her, and he ate. Pleasing to the eyes, looking good. So things of the world are like that. The woman saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, and that led her into sin. James wrote in chapter 4, to seek to embrace the world and its friendship is hatred towards God and spiritual adultery. So we need to get rid of the things that are approaching our lives, or that may be in our lives. We need to separate from friends who would lead us astray on the wrong way. We have to separate from things that take up our time and energy and keep us from serving God fully. We have to give up the pursuit of popularity, the pursuit of possessions, and the pursuit of physical and emotional gratifications. If you want to have a passion for God, you have to stay away from earthly life and circumstances. And the more you are unwilling to sacrifice, the less passion you will have for God. Those who do the most for the kingdom are those who are at least attached to earthly life and comforts. Number 5, don't waver. If you are straying, you have to go back and do the things that you did at the first. Attach yourself to the things that you did first when you became a Christian. It is not uncommon to have a dip in relationships. Peter dipped in his relationship with Jesus in Luke 24, 22. David dipped in his relationship in 2 Samuel 11. But they got up and they pursued after God once again. John in the Revelation 2:4 states, it is not a case of losing one's love, but in leaving one's love. There is a difference. You don't just lose it on by the way, you leave it. You cannot lose love, but you can leave it. So the cure is to have the first works, those things that caused one to grow in love with God in the first place. This would include those items what I mentioned before. The first step in this is confession and receiving forgiveness, and have a restored fellowship that is a result of your confession. There is no doubt that God will bless the pursuit of passion for him and will give his name, will glorify his name through it. We have another part about our passion for Christ, and that is service. You cannot claim to love somebody you don't do anything for them. You cannot say you love God and you dislike his people. There are people that are easy to be loved, and other people that are difficult to be loved. But because Jesus loved us first, we love others irrespective of our likes and dislikes. When you love other people, you serve them, you help them. Service is easily rejected because it is natural that we like to be served. But Jesus gave us an example when he washed his disciples' feet in John 13, verse 13 and to 15, where it says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then you, Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you, serving other people." Many people, they oversee this ministry of serving. Washing the feet of a slave is the meanest job a slave can do. Jesus humbled himself to do this job of a servant, of a slave. And further, if you are finally passionate about God and you start giving, when you're passionate, you give. You cannot say you love God, but you withhold tithes and offerings. Passionate people are giving people. Your passion must be seen. So love the Lord with all your heart means to love him with all passion. And you can build that passion. It's not just given to you. You have to work on it to be passionate. Remember, first know God, and then pray, then walk with him. Eliminate the world. Don't waver, and serve. 6 points for building your passion and fulfilling the command of loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. There are more points to that, but follow these 6 points and you will see your life will change and you get passionate for God and you love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Amen.
Amen.